A new training program that aims to provide police officers with the skill to intervene in situations when fellow officers are acting inappropriately or dangerously is being rolled out at police departments across the country. It's the Morning Show on Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson in for Kate Archer Kent. The program is called Active Bystandership for Law Enforcement, or ABLE. Here in Wisconsin, the Milwaukee Police Department is the first to bring the training to new recruits and veteran officers. The goal is to prevent harm from happening to members of the community and the officers themselves. And we want to hear from you. Are you a police officer or a retired officer? Have you seen fellow officers step out of line? Did you feel like you could pull them back, or were you reluctant to intervene? Call in now, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Joining us this morning are Lisa Kurtz, director of the Georgetown Law School's Active Bystandership for Law Enforcement Project. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And Captain Timothy Lightsky is the director of training for the Milwaukee Police Department. Welcome to you as well.
Good morning.
So, Lisa, let's start with you. We've heard about bystander intervention training on this show before. It gives people the tools to step in when they see someone being harassed or attacked. But these are people, just everyday people, people on the street, maybe at a store. What's the idea behind giving police officers this training?
So ABLE is all about preventing harm. It's about preventing harm to community members and preventing harm to our officers. So ABLE is based on three pillars, and those are avoiding mistakes, preventing misconduct, and promoting health and wellness. We teach officers the skills and tactics of active bystandership, which we know from other bystandership programs in other professions, as well as from years and years of social science research, that folks really do need training in how to intervene. A lot of times when we think about this, it seems like it should be common sense, but what the science shows us is that it's actually a lot more complicated than it might seem on the surface. And that's why a program like ABLE is so important.
Well, and that's because it's a lot easier said than done, like to know what to do in moments of tension, correct?
Absolutely. It's difficult to know what to do. And The successful interventions also require a strong culture that supports and accepts active bystandership. We know that people are going to be a lot more likely to intervene if they feel that they have the skills and the tools to do so effectively, but also if they're confident that that intervention is going to be accepted and that they're not going to be inviting any negative repercussions on themselves just by trying to do the right thing.
So, Lisa, can you talk a little bit about how the ABLE program was developed?
Sure. So I started out with the New Orleans Police Department, where we were rolling out EPIC, which is Ethical Policing is Courageous. That was the first active bystandership program in a law enforcement agency in the United States. And we saw great success with it in New Orleans. And then we started having some interest from agencies across the country. And last summer, in the wake of the protests that were happening surrounding George Floyd's murder, we ended up just being inundated with requests for this type of training that people were starting to see was so important. A lot of agencies wanted to proactively take steps to prevent tragedies like the ones that we had seen that summer. And so we, as the New Orleans Police Department, simply couldn't handle that capacity. And fortunately, we had some great partners at Georgetown Law, as well as at the DC-based law firm Shepard Mullin, who helped us bring the ABLE project to a nationwide audience.
We're talking to Lisa Kurtz right now, director of the Georgetown Law School's Active Bystandership for Law Enforcement Project. It has its roots in the New Orleans Police Department. And also with us right now is Captain Timothy Lightsky, the director of training for the Milwaukee Police Department. Now, Captain Lightsky, you know, Lisa was just talking about the growing interest among other police departments to get this training, and Milwaukee police will be learning this. Can you talk about why the department wanted to bring this to Milwaukee?
Sure. Yeah. So there's a couple of ways that we found ourselves joining up with ABLE. One is my interim chief, Jeff Norman, had earlier asked me to explore this program I heard about called EPIC. So I began the research on EPIC that Lisa just described. And of course, it brought me to ABLE. But fell in line with something that I've been looking for a while. A few years ago, I had been able to attend a conference, actually was coordinated by Michael Bell, who you might be familiar with out of Kenosha. And it was regarding high risk professions and how to prevent, you know, harm that can come out of those types of professions. So the conference had talked about the National Traffic Safety Administration or National Traffic Safety Board had talked about when mistakes happen in the medical profession. And so since then, I've been looking for a curriculum that would kind of tie that all together about preventing mistakes. And so, of course, this research at the request of the chief brought me to ABLE. And I found that this was going to be a good piece for our organization to implement going forward.
And I want to remind our listeners that EPIC that Captain Lightsky just mentioned is Ethical Policing is Courageous, which has its roots in the New Orleans Police Department. Now, Captain Lightsky, can you talk about how this training is going to be implemented for Milwaukee Police?
Yes. So we're the largest agency in the state. So it'll be a while, but we do have every intention to train every single member of our department. But right now we'll start with our, we have a brand new recruit class that started last week. So they're in their second week right now, and they will be getting this training. And then of course, part of this training involves, you know, I need these young officers, a lot of them barely 21. I need them to have the courage to put this training into practice and to speak up, you know, under the hierarchical conditions that, you know, a police department is going to have different people, different experience and rank. I need them to recognize and have the confidence to take action. So of course, we will also train their field training officers right off the bat to understand that their young recruits have this training and to be prepared for the professional discussions that are going to come in situations. And of course, we will be rolling out to the rest of our department and training other agencies in the area as well.
So you just mentioned that the younger recruits that are coming in are going to be getting this training first. And you said that they're going to need to have the courage to put this into practice among, you know, a team of people that have, you know, are veterans in the field. What kind of communication are you having with those veterans, even though they're not getting the training immediately, to maybe take a beat if there is an intervention happening so, you know, all parties are successful?
Right. So it's part of the moving the culture forward. We have in place, we have all of the pieces that are complementary to active bystandership. We have the policies, we have the procedures, we have the training, but this particular training is, you know, a piece that we needed that really gives tangible skills to our members, tangible skills to notice and how and be able to take action in intervening. But, you know, the other skill is being able to accept the intervention. So, you know, this is the right piece of training for us at the right time to be able to really reinforce, you know, the things that are part of our mission and part of our values.
Right now, we are talking about ABLE, the Active Bystandership for Law Enforcement program. Our guests are Lisa Kurtz, director of the Georgetown Law School's Active Bystandership for Law Enforcement, that's also called ABLE program, and of course, Captain Timothy Lightsky. He's the director of training for the Milwaukee Police Department, and you can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the ABLE program? If you're a police officer, would you like to see a program like this happen in your department? Call in 800-642-1234. I'm J. Carlisle Larson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm J. Carlisle Larson. We're talking about a new program for police that teaches them how to more quickly intervene when fellow officers are acting in potentially dangerous ways, ways that could harm themselves, fellow police, and community members. The program is called ABLE, or Active Bystandership for Law Enforcement, and police agencies, including the Milwaukee Police Department, are folding the ABLE principles into their academy training. You can join the conversation now. What do you think about the ABLE program? Do you trust police departments to implement programs like this to change the culture? Or do you think that we still have a long way to go? Call 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Our guests are Lisa Kurtz, director of the Georgetown Law School's Active Bystandership for Law Enforcement Project. Again, that's called ABLE. And Captain Timothy Lightsky is the director of training for the Milwaukee Police Department. Now, Lisa, let's turn back to you. As with other bystander trainings, ABLE uses the three Ds, distract, direct, and delegate. Thinking with police in mind, how would an officer distract as, you know, a way of intervening when a fellow officer is doing something inappropriate?
Sure. So, of course, it depends on the situation, but a distraction is just anything that is going to draw away the attention of either the officer who is doing something that they shouldn't be doing, or if there's a particular person who is the target of that officer's anger or inappropriate behavior, it might be distracting that person. So a distraction could be anything from telling the officer, hey, the sergeant wants to see you, saying, oh, hey, I really need someone to go take witness statements. Would you mind doing that? Or, you know, it could just be waving your arms in the air and making a silly face just to snap them out of whatever they're doing. So it really can look a lot of different ways. But the main idea, of course, is just to diffuse that situation. It's a de-escalation tactic. So just to sort of remove that sense of heightened emotion that tends to happen in situations where we might need interventions.
Yeah, because I feel like I've read that in the past, that just sort of a momentary pause can really bring down tension a lot of the time. And so have you seen this with just sort of a momentary distraction, that it can really bring that tension down?
Absolutely. And one of the things that a lot of our agencies have started doing is actually using some sort of agency code word. And this allows them to set a certain word. For some agencies, it might be ABLE. For some agencies, it might be something else. But if an officer says to another officer, hey, this is an ABLE moment, that could be a way to very quickly sort of snap that officer who needs an intervention out of the mindset that they're in without drawing any unwanted attention, without potentially undermining the officer's authority in front of other folks. There are certainly ways to intervene that can be subtle and effective as long as we are early enough in a situation that there is not a very urgent need to stop the harm immediately. And that's why we teach different strategies and different approaches to take based on the type of situation that folks find themselves in.
Well, let's look at the second D then, and that's direct. How does that look like in an officer intervention?
That's the one that I think to a lot of people seems the most straightforward. You know, you just tell someone, hey, stop doing that. But that, of course, can actually be the most difficult one. Telling someone, I don't think you should be doing that, you're going to cause harm to someone, can be very tough to do. So there are, again, more subtle ways to do a direct intervention, tapping someone on the shoulder. For our agencies that have chosen to wear ABLE lapel pins, even tapping that lapel pin just as a reminder. But we know that sometimes that immediate direct action is required. And so we teach officers both verbal and nonverbal direct intervention strategies.
Well, and then you have delegate, which I feel like maybe for some of our listeners might be a little bit more subtle, maybe not the most abundantly of like top of mind part of this. Can you talk about what delegating might look like as part of the ABLE program?
Sure. So if we have a situation where, you know, there is an imminent harm that's happening. Maybe, for example, an officer is noticing some behavioral changes in an officer that they work with regularly, and they think that there might be some sort of underlying either mental or physical health issue, but they just don't have the best relationship with that particular officer. They might say, well, I think an intervention is needed to get this person to the support and the resources that they need, but I might not be the best person to deliver that intervention. So I might delegate that intervention to someone who is in a better position to intervene and is more likely to have their intervention accepted. We can also delegate in situations where, for example, we see bad tactics. Captain Lightsky was talking about training recruits and FTOs, field training officers. So a field training officer might see a fellow officer who's done, let's say, a poor search. And, you know, a direct intervention could be just going up to them and saying, that was a bad search, I'm going to redo it. But a delegation could be instead telling their recruit who's with them, hey, maybe you should go over there and practice doing a search by showing me what a good search looks like on that subject.
We are talking about ABLE, the Active Bystandership for Law Enforcement program right now. Our guests are Elisa Kurtz, who you just heard. She's the director of the Georgetown Law School's Active Bystandership for Law Enforcement project. And we're also joined by Captain Timothy Lightsky. He's the director of training for the Milwaukee Police Department. And Captain Lightsky, you went through the training recently. What did you make of it?
I was pleased with the training. You know, it's my duty as a director of training to make sure that when I bring in training to my agency, that it's going to be able to move us forward with whatever we're trying to accomplish here. So I need the training to be evidence-based. I need it to be science-backed. And these days, more than ever, I need it to be able to have applicable skills that we can provide to our members so they can be successful in the field. And this training provided that for us.
Can you talk about just some of those applicable skills, how you see them being implemented by your officers?
So the great thing about this training is that it had some robust scenario-based experiences for our members. And this training also requires a class size that is really conducive to making sure that everybody in the class gets to practice those skills. So being able to learn these skills of the Notice and Decide Act, or the 3 Ds, the skills regarding how to escalate through different ways of engaging in bystandership, everybody in the class is going to be able to get a robust experience practicing those through the scenarios. And that's really important for us, because there's a lot of training out there, a lot of good training that talks about concepts, talks about wellness, talks about whatever the case is. But if that concept requires a skill, sometimes.
Captain Lightsky, are you there?
Those trainings are lacking. The need for practice. Yo, can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. Oh. Can you maybe just repeat the last 20 seconds of your answer? Apologies.
Oh, no. Okay, yeah, my computer said my connection was unstable. So to summarize again, ABLE has the opportunity for us to get robust practice in the scenarios in the classroom, which is important because so many trainings will tell us what to do, but not how to do it. And we absolutely need to put the how in the hands of our members.
And what kind of situations do you want Milwaukee police to be prepared for?
So policing has a lot of ambiguity. There can be an example we give often is two officers can engage in a contact under similar circumstances with a citizen. They both can be within policies, procedures, and the law. Yet you can walk away as a citizen feeling very differently about your interaction with those officers. So it's really important for us to make sure that if we want to be a procedurally just agency, that we're mindful of these things that we may or may not do. And we need officers to be able to notice it. We need officers to be able to intervene. We need officers to be able to redirect. We need all these skills to make sure that we're going towards a path of keeping our goal of police legitimacy and public trust.
So I know you're only you're on the second week with this new class. We have about 30 seconds, but are you right now encouraged with what you're seeing so far with the recruits?
I'm excited about this young group of recruits. They're a young class, but I'm really happy about what they're able to do and where we're going to take them by the time they graduate. I think the city of Milwaukee is going to be proud of them.
We are talking to Captain Timothy Lightsky right now, Director of Training for the Milwaukee Police Department, and Lisa Kurtz, Director of the Georgetown Law School's Active Bystandership for Law Enforcement Project. And we are taking your calls right now. We've been listening about more about active bystandership, the 3 Ds. Have you learned more about these projects? Have you seen it work maybe in your community? Would you like to see police officers do more of it? We are taking your calls right now at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the ABLE program? What more do you want to know? And if you're part of, if you live in Milwaukee, are you excited to see this practice put into place? And if you live elsewhere in Wisconsin, are you heartened by what you've heard today? Call in right now, 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. The news is next from NPR and WPR. I'm J. Carlisle Larson. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm J. Carlisle Larson in for Kate Archer Kent. Right now, Milwaukee police officers will begin training under a new program that aims to provide police with the skills necessary to intervene with fellow officers when they witness behavior that can cause harm to the officer, their colleagues, or community members. The program is called ABLE, Active Bystandership for Law Enforcement. According to Georgetown University, which designed the program, there are 169 ABLE certified agencies in the United States and Canada, and ABLE is based on an earlier project based out of New Orleans called EPIC, also called Ethical Policing is Courageous. And you can join the conversation now. What questions do you have about the ABLE program? How do you think police training needs to be changed? What would meaningful police reform look like in this country? Call 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Now staying with us is Captain Timothy Lightsky, Director of Training for the Milwaukee Police Department, and Lisa Kurtz, Director of the Georgetown Law School's Active Bystandership for Law Enforcement Project, also known as ABLE. I'm going to go to one of our callers right now. We have Julie in Middleton. Hi, Julie.
Hi. That program sounds excellent, but I believe that ways of avoiding the issue in the first place would be with something that we're doing in Madison. Social workers or paramedics are being sent out with police on calls where it might be psychological problems, of drug abuse, family issues that the police are not and should not necessarily be trained for or expected to handle. I think, secondly, as long as police have blanket immunity for the things that they do, you're going to get certain rogue cops, and every guard your organization has them, that are not going to be able to be managed with these techniques, but are going to use violence.
Julie, thank you so much for that call, Julie. You know, Captain Lightsky, I want to turn to you because Julie brought up a number of things, which is outside of ABLE itself, there have been other calls for reform, such as for non-emergencies, sending out social workers to help with people, to help de-escalate, but also calls to end things like qualified immunity. What's your response to that?
Well, specifically, most agencies and our agencies, I can speak for personally, our mission is to collaborate with our citizens. It's to engage in intelligence-led policing, and it's to engage in problem solving, right? So our mission doesn't talk about law and order. It doesn't talk about arrests. It doesn't talk about citations. Those are tools that may or may not be part of a mechanism to problem solve and to help stabilize a community. But those aren't the only ones. So of course, right, how do we recognize what are the other opportunities that we can develop partnerships in our community to solve problems that don't always have to have a law enforcement mechanism? This ABLE training is, I think, going to help support us with that, right? How can we recognize that an officer maybe is locked into a track that might be going to take them down a path that's going to be enforcement oriented, and maybe a partner can recognize and say, hey, you know what? I think there might be some other options here. Let's slow those things down and the ABLE program is going to give them the skills to be able to open that discussion and maybe alter outcomes.
Julie, again, thank you for that call. Now, Lisa, we talked about this just a little bit ago, but I want to dig a little deeper, which is the culture of policing and how ABLE can kind of disrupt that. We've talked about hierarchies within police departments. Can you talk a little bit more about just what we see are being hindrances as far as police culture goes?
So it's really important to have buy-in from the leadership of any agency that is interested in implementing ABLE or other progressive reforms. We know that as the saying goes, culture eats policy for lunch. So just having those policies in place, just having, you know, having a written record of here's what we want people to do isn't going to cut it. We really need to build up that culture where all of our officers understand that part of the loyalty that they have to each other is not saying, okay, do whatever you want and I'll have your back, but instead it's saying, I'm going to show you loyalty by helping you live up to the high standard that is expected of us as law enforcement officers. And that means stepping in to stop harm or ideally to prevent harm before it happens, whether that harm is affecting officers, community members, or both. We really want to get away from some of the us versus them mentality that we see and start talking about our law enforcement officers as members of the communities that they serve. And I think ABLE is a way for them to help open up that conversation. We do require community input as part of our ABLE standards that all agencies need to agree to in order to receive our training, which we provide free of charge. So I think that an overall culture change is something that a lot of agencies have actually started thinking about. And ABLE is not intended to be a panacea to completely fix all of the problems that communities have seen, but it is a first step in getting folks talking about the kind of culture that they'd like to have in their agency and the role that each officer can play in preventing harm.
And Captain Lightsky, do you see a hunger within your department to change that culture to, you know, create a better work environment for police officers, especially as members of the community?
Yes, of course. It's been a long 18 months or 15 months since last summer. It's been a tough period generally in law enforcement, and the part of the toughness is what's hurting, I think, for law enforcement officers is police officers is we really do want to be trusted by the community. We want to be able to accomplish making the community feel safe. We want to accomplish making the community better off than we found it. So it's important to us to be able to engage in that. And so to be able to practice skills, to be able to lead with practices that are recognized by the community that gives them confidence in their police department, that matters.
We are talking to Captain Timothy Lightsky, Director of Training for the Milwaukee Police Department, and Lisa Kurtz, Director of Georgetown Law School's Active Bystandership for Law Enforcement Project. I'm going to go back to one of our callers right now. We have Tim in Marinette. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment that in the trades, it takes approximately 4 years to become a journeyman in, say, an ironworker or a plumber. And I believe, in my opinion, that the police need to have at least 4 years training before they're handed a lethal weapon and can go out and judge a public. I think their training is far too short.
Tim, thank you for that call. And, you know, I'll stick with you, Captain Lightsky, right now. Timeline for training, any sort of moves to make it longer, more comprehensive compared to other organizations, but also other fields?
So I know there's discussion out there. I know that sometimes people want to bring up comparisons to other countries, other places around the world. I do know that in Wisconsin, we have a very robust curriculum. Our curriculum is probably one of the more robust in the nation. And particularly in Milwaukee, while the state mandates 720 hours, we exceed that. We add almost another extra additional 300 hours. For example, this ABLE training would be one of them. But we also have other training, our crisis intervention training, and other trainings that we add on top to really make sure that when our officers come out, that they have that experience. But then, of course, course, their training isn't done with the academy. They're going to have their field training opportunities, and continual in-service training and specialized training. So while we don't necessarily have a four-hour block to start a career, officers do receive plenty of regular training, even once they've exceeded the over 1,000 hours they get here in the police academy.
And Lisa, let's look at the ABLE training specifically. What's the timeline for that? How long does it take a department to go through the training before they implement it?
Of course, that's going to depend on the size of the agency. So Milwaukee is on the larger side. We work with our agencies to develop a training plan that's going to work for them. The most important thing to us is that every single commissioned person in that agency received the training, and that goes from their recruits all the way up to the chief, the superintendent, or the sheriff, whoever heads the department. And so we think, of course, it's important to have this training done as quickly as possible, but we don't want agencies to feel overburdened. We know that there are a lot of other competing demands on officers' time. So we have this initial 8-hour block that everyone is required to have. But in addition to that, in order to ensure that these principles are being reinforced regularly, we also have required yearly in-service training that all officers are going to receive. And we work with agencies to incorporate the principles and skills of active bystandership into other appropriate courses so that this isn't just a standalone class that they might need to wait their turn to get as we're working our way through the initial group of officers. It's something that is going to start to be incorporated into the daily life of our officers all across an agency.
We are talking to Lisa Kurtz right now, director of the Georgetown Law School's Active Bystandership for Law Enforcement project, that's also called ABLE. And we're talking to Captain Timothy Leitzke, director of training for the Milwaukee Police Department. The Milwaukee Police are going to be implementing this program for their trainees and officers, and we're learning more about that right now. And you can call in right now with your questions at 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. We're talking about the ABLE program, or Active Bystandership for Law Enforcement. Its goal, train police officers to intervene when their colleagues are acting inappropriately or dangerously in order to prevent misconduct and avoid mistakes. And we want to hear from you. Have you ever witnessed a police officer doing something wrong and tried to intervene? What happened? If you're an officer or a former officer, can you talk about how difficult it is to intervene? Call 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Our guests are Captain Timothy Leitzke, Director of Training for the Milwaukee Police Department, which is going to be using this program, and Lisa Kurtz, Director of the Georgetown Law School's Active Bystandership for Law Enforcement Project. I want to go to our callers right now. We have John in Madison. Hi, John.
Hi, thank you. I understand this ABLE bystandership program. It sounds very similar to what the Black Panther movement was doing back in like the 60s and 70s, where citizens were monitoring police activity and sort of supervising, making sure that nothing was going wrong, essentially. I was wondering if there's ways to expand the program to include a citizen bystandership and perhaps maybe removing things like obstruction of justice if situations are really not just.
John, thank you so much for that call. So, Lisa, I'll turn to you. You know, let's talk a little bit about the sort of, you know, internal observing of police officers. Why have officers watch other officers versus having outside observers like citizens be involved in this?
Often an officer is going to be in the best position to intervene on a fellow officer. They might be in a position to first notice that there is a need for that intervention, but they're also going to be in the best position to actually take steps with that officer to intervene. It's going to be probably safest for that fellow officer to intervene. And of course, they have training that most folks do not. So that's training in noticing their surroundings. And then of course, with the ABLE training, we specifically teach them to notice the need for an intervention, decide when and how is going to be the best way to intervene, and then to actually take those concrete steps to act. And so some of it is a matter of training. We, of course, are active bystandership for law enforcement. So that's where our focus is, on training officers as well as civilian employees of law enforcement agencies. We've had a number of requests for that. And so actually recently developed a supplementary curriculum that agencies can provide to their civilian employees, as well as to victim and witness advocates who might be on scenes with officers, and anyone else with whom the agency works closely. There are great active bystandership trainings for the general public. I know Hollaback is an example of an organization that puts those on virtually free of charge. So we think that for us, ABLE is really about creating that culture where law enforcement officers are going to intervene with each other, which will hopefully preempt the need for anyone else to intervene. The hope is that officers will be using these skills and tactics that we teach them to prevent or stop that harm as soon as they notice that it is happening. And then the second step is preventing similar future harm. So we know that officers are also going to be in the best position to have follow-up conversations if needed, to assess what perhaps the underlying causes were of behavior that was undesirable, so that they can start to really develop a culture where officers are looking out for each other, are making sure that all of their fellow officers are living up to the standards that are expected of them, and that if they see officers who are not doing that, that they're taking the appropriate steps to rectify that situation. Because again, it all comes down to preventing harm.
And Lisa, one thing that I want to remind people is that police officers are people. They sometimes might see a training like this as a criticism. How can maybe departments alleviate some of that feeling so that way there is all that buy-in like you were talking about earlier?
Yeah, absolutely. So our officers, of course, like you said, are just human. And we think that actually all humans probably need active bystandership training. It's something that we all tend to think that we're pretty good at. But what we've seen from all of the research, as well as lived experience, is that we don't intervene as often as we do, and we don't intervene as effectively as we think we do. And so it's really important to have this training and to have officers understand that, you know, we're not saying you need this training because you're police officers. We're saying you need this training because you're humans. But the stakes are higher because of the role that our police officers play and because of the authority that is vested in them by the state. So we talk about how active bystandership is for the rest of us, meaning not the perfect people who never need intervention, who are always going to do the right thing no matter what, and not the people who are perhaps ethically challenged, who aren't as concerned. What we're really focusing on here are the people who are in a position to intervene with those ethically challenged people and with each other. So the people who are just trying to do their best to uphold their oath, to get through the day, to go home safely to their families, and to make sure everyone else can go home safely to their families. That's the group of people that we are focused on. We think that we have the best chance of changing the behavior of those folks. And if we create a culture where these peer interventions are not only regularly accepted, but are even expected of all officers, then we know that those ethically challenged people are more likely to either change their behavior to conform to the expectations or to just leave the job altogether. And so we are working on creating a culture where all officers feel empowered and authorized to intervene with each other, regardless of their relative ranks, regardless of their relative levels of experience. We want to ensure that all officers are looking out for each other and, like I said, holding each other to that high standard that we expect of them.
We're talking to Lisa Kurtz right now, director of Georgetown Law School's Active Bystandership for Law Enforcement Program. And Captain Timothy Lightsky is the director of training for the Milwaukee Police Department, which is going to be utilizing this ABLE project. I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Saul in Stevens Point. Hi, Saul.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. A really interesting program. My question is all the training done by current or former law enforcement officers?
Saul, thank you for that question. You know, I'll turn to you, Captain Lightsky, because you've gone through the training and you're about to begin the process with new recruits. Can you talk about the players involved as part of the training?
Sure. So my trainers, myself included, have received training through the ABLE group. So some of the participants, some of their trainers I know are civilian or come from academic backgrounds, but a lot of them are law enforcement or policing backgrounds. And in our agency going forward, it will be our officers with a policing background. And that matters because there's a necessary credibility that goes with that people can understand the questions and concerns that'll come up from students in the class, police officer students in the class. And so to be able to have had experience from our own time in the profession and to be able to explain to people why this is applicable and talk about the scenarios that we've lived and breathed and experienced matters to make the training applicable, to make it stick, and to make it easier for people to accept, you know, sometimes those hard discussions that come within the training.
Saul, thank you for that call. I'm going to stick with our callers right now. We have Jeff in Wausau. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, I'll be real quick. I know you're at the end here. I think we put all the onus on the police, and I don't think that's where it has to be. You know, we spend a lot of time training police to do their job correctly, and then we expect them to go out there into really difficult situations and calmly act, you know. But we never tell people what to do when police are pulling them over. We never train people. If an officer is pulling you over, he's pulling you over because he thinks you did something. You need to not do something that reinforces the officer's minds. For instance, officer pulls you over, keep your hands in view. Don't reach for a gun. Don't appear that you're reaching for a gun, because that, of course, would have an adverse relationship. But we never tell people that. We put all the onus on the police, and I don't think that's going to solve the problem.
Jeff, thank you so much for that call. Captain Lightsky, I'm gonna stick with you on this one, which is we hear about this a lot, that, you know, people, you know, citizens have a role as well. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and we hear that frequently, and I understand where the caller's coming from on that, right? And that's frequently a discussion that we have internally and with our community partners. The reality is, you know, the police are the people and the people are the police, but the police are the ones that have the full-time training. We're the ones that have the thousands of hours, and we're the ones that have also got the sworn oath. So it's, you know, there's always going to be extra responsibility on our part to try to mitigate, try to de-escalate, try to diagnose what the problem is, try to use time and professional communication skills to, you know, hopefully move us towards a successful and safe outcome for all parties involved. Do we wish we had best interactions every time, that the community was giving us the empathy that we are training to provide them? So some of these situations could be less tense, yes, but, you know, the onus is on us, but anytime the community wants to meet us halfway, we appreciate it, because we all want to go home safe.
Well, we'll have to leave it there. Captain Timothy Lightsky is the director of training for the Milwaukee Police, and Lisa Kurtz is the director of the Georgetown Law School's Active Bystandership for Law Enforcement Program. MPD will be implementing that. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.